بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعن أبي عيسى المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إن الله تعالى حرم عليكم عقوق الأمهات ومنع النهات ووأد البنات وكره لكم قيل وقال وكثرة السؤال وإضاعة المال. متفق عليه. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم has forbidden for you the disobedience of mothers and hoarding your own possessions, which is, or hoarding possessions of others, which is in your possession. So items which belongs to somebody else and you are not giving them back, and you are demanding unlawful possession, somebody else's possession, you are demanding the right of it. وَوَعْدَ الْبَنَاتِ, and bearing daughters alive. وَكَرِهَ لَكُمْ قِيلَ وَقَالَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes for you engaging in futile talk without checking the veracity of the statement. A person just passes it on to others. And وَكَثَرْتَ السُّؤَالِ, asking unnecessary questions. And وَإِضَاعَةَ الْمَالِ, and wasting and squandering money. So few things have been mentioned in this hadith. The first thing that Allah Ta'ala has made haram upon you, and which we have discussed extensively now, the disobedience of mothers. Of course, this does not mean a person can disobey his father, but specifically the word ummahat has been mentioned, which is the plural of ummun in Arabic. Ummun, mother. Ummahat, mothers. Because a mother is generally, the female is weaker than the male in various aspects. She requires more care, compassion, and more respect. The mother carries the child for 9 months in her womb. She breastfeeds the child. She nurtures the child. So she, therefore, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Sahabi asked that who has the most right over me, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that your mother. And 3 times he said, your mother, your mother, your mother. Then the 4th time he said, your father. So fathers are also included in this ruling, but Rasulullah suffice in this hadith to mention mothers, because generally we find also the parents take advantage over the soft nature of the mothers, and they disobey the mothers more than that they would disobey the father, because they are afraid of the fathers. وَمَنْعًا وَهَاتِ, مَنْعًا, those things that are in your possession but belongs to somebody else. Either you got it, the person entrusted it to you, or you borrowed it, or there was some transaction that took place, and now you're going to pay the man his due. So when he is asking you, you are refusing to give him. Or you're holding back that possession or item of somebody else's, which is in your possession, and you're not paying him his due. This is also prohibited. Wahati means to bring something. In other words, you're demanding something which is not lawful for you. It belongs to somebody else and you are falsely claiming that it is yours. So these false claims, this is what Rasulullah said, it is haram. So taking unlawful possession of the belongings of others. وَوَأْدَ الْبَنَاتِ, وَأْدٌ in Arabic means to bury. In the time of Jahiliyyah, the men, the fathers used to bury their daughters alive. It was a humiliation and embarrassment for them if the wives give birth to a daughter. They had this notion within them that if this is my daughter, I'm going to nurture her, grow her up, and spend so much of money on her, and then I'm going to get her married to some person. She'll be of no asset to me, there, no benefit to me in my business, etc. And I must spend all my money on her just to get her married to some other person. So they regarded this to be an aib, a defect, a fault. And therefore, the moment the wife gives birth to a daughter, the father would take this child and bury this child. And how many times we've heard this narration where once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seated with Sahaba, and they were talking about the time of Jahiliyyah, when one Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what I did, that my wife fell pregnant and then she gave birth, it was a daughter, and then she was a very beautiful child, so it was difficult for me to bury her initially, so somehow we managed to just keep it a secret for some time, and we did not expose her to the public, but as she grew, and she was growing up to be a little child, extremely beautiful, and I was very fond of her. But then, as the Quran says, أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَىٰ هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي تُرَابٍ. Will he still keep her and face embarrassment and humiliation amongst the people in society that you've got a daughter? Or should I bury the child alive? So he said, I chose then to bury this daughter of mine alive, and I just made a plan. I tricked her, and with the false I had planned that I took her into the jungles, and she thought we were going for a picnic, and I began to dig this hole, and even this little daughter of mine began taking the spade from me, and she also started helping me, not knowing, this innocent child, that this is going to be her qabr. And then he says, I grabbed her and I pushed her into this hole, and I can still hear her cries and asking and pleading to me, that what have I done? What have I done? And I threw the sand until I buried her. Rasulullah cried, he turned away. Nonetheless, Allah Ta'ala forgave the people when the moment they accept Islam, all the sins of the past. But Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala talks about this, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. On the day of Qiyamah, this child that was buried alive will be asked, what guna did you did? In other words, the rebuke is not on the child, the rebuke is on the parent, that what guna that this child did, that you buried the child alive. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala protect us, even in these sophisticated times, that we must not follow in the same type of thinking of the past of Jahiliyyah, ووأد البنات, and burying the daughter alive. وَكَرِهَ لَكُمْ قِيلَ وَقَالَ. قِيلَ in Arabic, it was said. قَالَ, he is saying. In other words, we pass on statements without checking the veracity of those statements. And how often, especially I mentioned this so many times now in the social media, somebody sends some information about something or some incident without ascertaining whether it is true, genuine. First of all, if it's futile, we should not be bothered about it. It is termed as la ya'ni. Min husni islami al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. When the beauty of a person's Muslim is he is abandoning and leaving out those things that do not concern him. Nonetheless, we take this message and we pass it. We send it, we forward it. And not even a few seconds after that, we realize that it is brought to our attention that this information was false. Now we have to tell the person again that information was false. So we should always check the veracity of things before we quote it. And when we quote it correctly. So what we do nowadays, we send it forward and we see as received. Even then also, there's no real need for sending information which is not going to be beneficial to the people. So many times it is ghibah, slandering, we're talking evil about some person, and we just passing our time in these futile ways. So, qila wa qal, some ulama have said this, that we should not be involved in futile things, and others have explained, qila wa qal is those things, those statements that people make without checking the veracity of it, we're just passing it forward. Nabiya Kareem said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes this. Wa kathrat as-su'al. Su'al has two meanings. One is asking questions. Kathra means in abundance. To ask questions, good questions, this is good in Sharia. But to ask unnecessary questions, like the Bani Israel, when they were told to slaughter the cow, they asked, what type of cow, what color cow? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then made it very difficult for them. When Rasulullah SAW told the Sahaba, perform Hajj. So one Sahabi then stood up, Ya Rasulullah, every year must make Hajj. Nabi Kareem sallallahu became upset. He said that unnecessary question that the people of the past asked, unnecessary questions, and then they opposed the Anbiya, this led to their downfall and destruction. All you have to do is perform Hajj. If I say perform Hajj every year, how difficult it will become on every believer. Like Salat, we have to perform every day. So if the question, if the hukam was to perform Hajj, form it once in your lifetime, it's all over. You fulfill the obligation. So unnecessary questions, which does not concern us, or is this going to create more mischief in society and make matters more difficult, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this like this. Su'al also means begging. When there is a need for begging, Shariat has allowed it. But when a person persists, then this also is not liked by Shariat, is abhorred by Shariat. Wa ida'at al-mal. And squandering wealth, wasting wealth. A person earns wealth. Okay, he earns halal wealth. Now he must use it also in the correct way. Therefore, in our dua, we always say, Ya Allah, give us halal, tayyib, rozi, and make us use it according to your pleasure. Don't make us waste our money. And we see in our wedding function, especially, instead of now going towards a more simpler life, and we see the condition of the ummah, that how much our brothers and sisters require this in the world. But unfortunately, we see, this is my only daughter, my last daughter, and just to impress society, which, believe me, nobody gets impressed. The more that you will feed the people, the more faults they will find, and nobody is appreciative of it. We waste so much of money in draping the halls and spending so much of unnecessary money. We are actually wasting wealth. Therefore, Shariat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dislikes idha'at al-mal, squandering wealth, wasting wealth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq al-hidayah to understand these simple teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the last hadith of this particular chapter. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll continue the next chapter. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu.